This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. Bert's with us. Welcome, Bert.
Hey, Vince. How's the climate out in your neck of the woods today?
Well, I got to tell you, Bert, it's really sunny. We had several inches of rain over the last couple of days. The grass is growing beautifully, and it's the exact opposite of what I'm reading in the Southwest, where it looks like we've got all their rain, and they are in a drought that's the worst in 19 years. So the reservoirs are down, the lakes are down, and it's a real serious problem out there. Is that true? I mean, are you hearing that too?
Well, those things happen. There's always some part of the country, or for that matter, the world, that experience extreme climate. That's pretty much been going on as long as we've had civilization, and probably way before. You know, I'm sure the dinosaurs complained about, poor crops and bad eating and too hot days at some period of time.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. You know, and there's one other thing that I've noticed, and that is our solar panels are generating more electricity. And in periods when it's overcast, they're generating more than they used to over the last 5 years when it was overcast. And they're certainly generating more when it's sunny. So much more that my plan for over the weekend is to install another charge controller on the same number of solar panels, because the solar panels are delivering more electricity than the charge controllers can handle. So we have two charge controllers. I have to add a third one, and I have to actually literally electrically split one of our solar arrays, which has 27 panels in it. I have to split that in half. So half of it will go to one charge controller, and another will go to another charge controller. And these charge controllers are 60 amps each. So they're not tiny. They're certainly substantial, and they can't handle the extra electricity that is currently being generated by the solar panels. I believe that that it's coming from one main source. Now, I can't prove any of this. It's just my my feeling that the fewer airplanes flying in the sky, delivering less overhead air pollution from burning jet fuel. And if you ever watch one of these things take off, it's black. Black soot comes out the back end of these jet engines. That's one thing. And the other thing is the chemical spraying of the airplanes that would crisscross during the Obama administration and into the Donald Trump administration, the crisscrossing of the skies with these chemtrails. And we have photographs. I mean, there's as many as 30 at a time that we can see crisscrossing across our farm, just looking up. So the lack of that, because they're not spraying chemicals here anywhere near as much as they used to. We might see one or two every few days, but nothing like 30 and 40 a day. So I think that the occlusion of the solar rays by the chemicals that have been sprayed in the air pollution, the absence of some of that, is allowing our solar panels to operate more the way they were designed to, and we're generating more electricity. So I have to increase the ability to harness that energy. So I just wanted to share that with you. You have any thoughts on that?
Well, You know, I say look at the data, and I'm looking at a couple of graphs as we speak right now, and they're sort of interesting. And one of them is solar irradiance. So the actual emissions, you know, total light and everything else, emission from the sun over a period from 1880 to 2020. And it's more or less constant, but it actually increased a bit from, oh, let's say around 1920 to 1960. Then from about 1960 to 70 had a big fall, went up again in 1980, and since 1980, it's been on a steady decline, and it's actually at its lowest point right now since the graph began, this particular set of data, in 1880, maybe 82 or so. So actual power from the sun doesn't support your theory on the solar cells. Now, that doesn't, this data has nothing to do with what may be in the air, you know, having less pollution in it. That may be what you're seeing with the effect with more output from your solar panels. But in terms of actual radiance from the sun, there's nothing to support it. In fact, as I said, we've had a, you know, it's not big. I mean, the variance here, we're talking a few percent, so it's fairly minor. So I think you could probably say it's been more or less constant. So, but this does not take into account any attenuation through the air and the atmosphere and pollution, as you mentioned. So you could be right. I just don't have the data to say one way or the other. But the other interesting graph that I'm looking superimposed on this graph is the yearly average temperature. And again, from about 1880 to 2020. And what we see is more or less constant through until about 1960. There's a little dip at 1900, then there's a steady increase through the 20s, and from 1960 onward, the whole trajectory of the curve goes steeply upward. And what we see is about a 1 degree centigrade increase in temperature over the planet, and most of that, almost all of that occurring from 1960 to present. And we've discussed this before, but I think it's pretty hard to argue that man has not caused that, especially because we can more or less take the sun out of the equation, and the real conclusion has to be, yeah, something man did has affected this. Now, there's been other increases in temperature, most notably over thousands of years we've had an increase in temperature, and that may indeed have to do with the sun. It may have to do with volcanic activities. It may have to do with, you know, what amount of temperature escapes from the core of the Earth and other factors, probably nothing to do with man. But this effect over the last 100-plus years of 1 degree, I think we can say is because of man. Now, what do we do with it is a different question. What do we do about it? I think we're on a trajectory to, it may go up a little bit more for a few more years, but I think we're getting pollution under control, which affects some of this. And I believe, you know, I'm optimistic that we're going to stop burning coal at some point and move to more sustainable energy sources, such as you mentioned, your solar panels. So I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think, according to some politicians, we have 7.5 years left when they said we had 10 years till the end of the world. So I guess that's down to 7.5 now. So we'll see about that.
Well, I've got a comment. So about 16 years ago, we started building our farmhouse here on the farm, on the land here in Missouri. And I decided, instead of hiring a moving van to move all of our possessions from Virginia, you know, my parents' possessions, and ours, because we lived right next to each other on a family compound, if you will. Instead of hiring a moving van and making one big move, I decided to buy a trailer. And this trailer was 20 feet long, 8 feet high, 8 feet wide. It's actually a race car trailer. I bought it used, and I thought, this is perfect. It's a box trailer. I can pull it behind our Dodge Cummins turbo diesel truck, three-quarter ton truck. And since I'm going to be going back and forth anyway, while it was going to take 18 months or 2 years to build the house, since my son and I were going to be going back and forth to Virginia, we might as well just pull this trailer with us and start moving our possessions, furniture, etc., books, carpets, equipment, in this van. And so we'd go through the same route all the time. And we'd take the interstate, and one of the cities that we would go through was Louisville, Kentucky. And so we went through in all four seasons. And what I noticed, and this particular 1999 Dodge pickup truck has a outside temperature sensor, and it has a display, an overhead display that tells you the outside temperature. So you can tell if, you know, if you're driving in weather that where rain could turn to ice, you'd know that if you paid attention to the temperature. Well, what I noticed was the city of Louisville, as we approached it, was warmer than the outskirts, leading up to it and after we passed it. And it was warmer in the summer. It was warmer in the spring. It was warmer in the winter and fall. And in the winter, it was 10 degrees warmer. Now, how is it possible that the city of Louisville, Kentucky, can be 10 degrees warmer than 30 miles before it or 30 miles after it? How is that possible? Well, my belief is that all the black roofs of the city buildings, you know, the row houses, all the buildings, plus all the gasoline that's burned in the vehicles, plus all the diesel fuel, plus all the home heating oil, plus all the natural gas, plus all the energy consumed by those living in Louisville, Kentucky, and the black roofs, and the lack of the green trees that were displaced, and the grass displaced by all these buildings and roads, and blacktop roads, black roads, absorbed more heat from the sun and produced more heat through the burning of fuels and electricity and energy. And I believe that's true. So what I'm saying is, you look at any city, and I'll bet it's the same thing. More heat in the cities than outside the cities. How's that ring with your thoughts, Bert?
It's absolutely true. There's no question about it. And it's caused, you know, by many factors, both the fact that there's so many black roads and the rooftops and everything else, plus all the heat that's being generated inside the cities. So, you know, that, and not to mention there's other effects too. It's besides heat, you know, that in Arizona, the humidity's gone up in Phoenix, like doubled. And you know why the humidity in Phoenix has doubled? It has nothing to do with climate.
Yeah, it's all these people from New Jersey that moved to Arizona, you know, because of their respiratory conditions, and they think they missed the green lawn that they had in New Jersey.
And their
so
their
they put
pool.
In a lawn.
And the pool.
Yeah. Yep. Because they missed the pools and the lawns.
Yep.
And those mint juleps out by the pools. We'll be right back.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you you want if you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch? We can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
It's gonna be sliding. What are today's hot? Today I've got your take. My, when you go to the for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Birch with us, and we're talking about the climate, and I think we're proving to you that man has altered the climate, and not necessarily in a positive way. I think overall in a negative way. So, Brett, I have two comments. I'll do one at a time. One, you mentioned Arizona and the humidity increasing dramatically. I'm paraphrasing. I submit to you that, and to the class, that about 100% of the water that is used to water those lawns that have been put in Arizona by people who moved there from New Jersey. Now, I'm just using that as a case. I'm sure there are people from New York and Connecticut and Rhode Island that have moved to Arizona as well. But those people who have decided that, you know, they don't want to have just dust and gravel in their front yard. They want to have a green lawn like they're used to. Back on the East Coast. So when they water their lawns, I submit to you, class, and Bert, that about 100% of that water that they sprinkle on the lawn to keep it green evaporates into the air and causes humidity. 100%. Your thoughts?
Well, of course, 100%. It you know, and it is recycled back. I mean, all the water on the planet is still the water on the planet, either in the oceans or in the ice caps or in moisture in the air. So, of course, it's recycled back. Is it harmful? Well, hard to say if it's harmful, but it is certainly changing the climate in Phoenix. And probably...
Yeah, and
Las Vegas.
And if you had, yeah, if you had a cup of coffee this morning, let's be a little bit graphic, semi-graphic. If you had a cup of coffee, just as I have a cup of water here, it's reused dinosaur pee, at least some percentage of it. Okay? It is. Because yeah. we only have the water that was on the planet. We're not getting any more. That's it. There is no more water. So we are reusing water. So the guys that water their lawns in Arizona, that water is taken in by the grass plants and the other vegetation. It's consumed and it is released by the plants into the air, which is why you have to keep watering the lawn. Okay? That's why. And the swimming pool was the other thing I wanted to mention. In Jericho, the television series Jericho, they mentioned, you know, I was a pool guy in a past life, and so was Vincent Finelli. I maintained a couple pools, and one of the things that happens when you have a pool, a swimming pool, is there's a water faucet nearby with a hose, and the reason is because you have to keep topping off the height of the pool, otherwise the skimmers that collect the bugs and debris that lands on the surface of the pool, the skimmers won't work properly. So the swimming pool has to be a certain height. In addition, some pools are at a state where the water pressing outward on the walls is met by the earth pressure pressing inward. And if you take the water out of some pools, the pools will collapse. Actually, the earth will win and push the pool sides in. So you have to keep water in the pool in most cases with pools. So, but where does that water go? You put an inch in like once a week. At the top of it, well, it goes into the air. That's where it goes, unless you have a leak in the bottom of the pool or the sides of the pool. But that's it. So when you talk about Arizona, the evaporation of all those pools and all those lawns, that's why. That's why the humidity has increased. Back to you.
No doubt about it. That's probably the most easy explanation of man directly causing climate change right there. No doubt about it. But I put everything in balance, and I think in 7 years, I think we're going to be fine. But in the next segment, what I want to talk about is something that may happen in the next 7 years. In fact, there's now scientists saying it may happen in 3 years. It has nothing to do with man, and it actually could be way more cataclysmic than anything we've talked about in terms of the 1 degree warming or the extra moisture in the air in Phoenix.
Yeah, and class, we're going to be clear on this 1 degree warming. You may think that's nothing, but it's 1 degree centigrade or 1 degree Celsius, which is about 2 degrees Fahrenheit. And you're used to thinking in Fahrenheit numbers. So if you think about it, 70 degrees outside feels really good. 110 degrees outside feels really hot. So there's a narrow band that humans are comfortable with.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An Arizona murder suspect who escaped from deputies Thursday morning in Atlanta, Georgia at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport is back in custody after being spotted by a television news reporter. Jason Carlos Strover was seen by Channel 2 Action News dipping into some bushes in the College Park area. They called police and Strover was quickly surrounded and taken into custody. Mr. Strover was being transported to Phoenix to face a murder charge when he escaped. The New York Police Department is reporting an out-of-control driver fatally struck a man on a scooter before plowing into an outdoor dining setup in Queens, New York on Thursday night. The incident ended up at Peruvian restaurant Rosa Toro on 35th Street. A 60-year-old woman struck the man on the scooter and dragged him under the car for some distance. As the NFL draft continues, the first pick on Thursday went to Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. He'll be on the Jacksonville Jaguars roster this year. USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
On February 24th of this year, Lady Gaga's dog walker was critically injured as her French bulldogs were stolen in a violent Hollywood, California robbery. A handful of people have been arrested. Wendy King from the Pacific Northwest USA Radio News Bureau has more.
And the abduction of her French bulldogs. Police arrested James Jackson, Jalen White, and Lafayette Whaley of the crime, charging them each with one count of attempted murder. Also, conspiracy to commit robbery. Two others face one count each of accessory to attempted murder. Harold White, who is Jalen White's father, and Jennifer McBride. Among those arrested was the woman who said she found the dogs and returned them for the $500,000 reward from Lady Gaga. The singer's friend, Ryan Fisher, was walking her dogs when they were stolen, and Fisher was seriously injured and in the hospital. Police said four of the suspects are gang members.
The LAPD is reporting that the suspects did not know they were Lady Gaga's dogs when stolen and only noticed the value of the breed. Americans are being advised to avoid travel to India amid a surge of new COVID-19 cases that has devastated the country's healthcare system. State Department officials on Wednesday said Americans should not travel to India or to leave as soon as it is safe to do so, citing reports of U.S. citizens being denied care from the overwhelmed hospitals in that country. U.S. citizens wishing to depart should use available commercial options now, the State Department said on Twitter. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pride.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Bert's with us, and we're talking about climates. And Bert, you mentioned something that could happen. Scientists are talking about it in the next 3 to 7 years. It's really significant, really alarming. Would you please tell us more about that?
Sure, Vince. Actually, next 3 to 4 years. So as much as I may downplay the effects of climate change on civilization and our planet, there's another effect that I believe really should be brought more to the forefront, because we know it happens and we know it's going to happen again. And that's solar storms, in particular, coronal mass ejection. And What that is a periodic eruption of the sun that sends energy out from the sun. It's not at the speed of light. It's a little slower, so it takes 1 or 2 days to arrive and causes havoc on the planet. And they've occurred, I want to say, semi-regularly. We can almost predict them. And each one has done more and more damage to the planet because we have more and more dependence on electrical systems, the electrical grid, electronics, and so forth. And right now, we are entering a solar cycle, and there's an 11-year solar cycle of the sun, and these storms tend to peak when the solar cycle peaks. So the current cycle we're in right now started in December of 2019, so we're about a year and a half into it. It's expected to peak in about 3 or 4 years when we could expect the most chance of another coronal mass ejection. And many scientists, it's nothing to do with politics, this is just pure science, say that this storm may be one of the worst on history, and they're saying that simply for what they've already seen in terms of solar storms, solar flares, and those sort of things. And like I said, we have about 3 years to prepare for it, and I don't think we're doing enough, in particular, to protect the power grid. And, you know, it's not a joke. It's happened. The most recent one happened in Quebec. I think you probably heard of that one, Vince, when it knocked out the power system in Quebec for a few days.
Yeah, and, I know that. And we've talked about that. And Bert, I have a suggestion for the class. Class, if you want to prepare for a grid down situation, if you want to prepare for just a partial grid down situation, if you want to prepare for a local power outage, if you want to prepare for your street not having electricity because some drunk driver crashes into a power pole and breaks it, and you're without electricity until they get another power pole in its place and, you know, up and connected and so forth. If you want to know what that's like, here's what you do. Today is Friday. So tonight, you can tell your family, you can say, look, we know there's going to be a power outage starting at 6 o'clock tonight. We know that. We know that because I'm going to go to the circuit panel, and I'm going to shut off all the breakers that are not medically necessary. So if you have someone on an oxygen concentrator or something like that, medical equipment, you don't want to shut that breaker off. But you can shut off and leave your refrigerator and freezer running so you don't lose food. But put some tape over the refrigerator door and the freezer door to remind you that the power has failed and you can't go in there and get anything because there's no electricity to cool the refrigeration equipment that you have in your house. And you put a piece of tape over the toilet flush handle because there's no water either. Okay? So you do that, and you tell the family at 6 o'clock the power is going to fail. And you simulate a power failure by turning off all the breakers. Now, you know in advance that the power is going to go off at 6 o'clock. So you can get ready. You can do everything that you want. And I've offered this homework. No one in 10 years has done it. No one. But I'll tell you what, if you do it, you'll be way more prepared for what it's going to be like. And then what you do is you sit around the kitchen table and you say, well, you know, cheat, the flashlight batteries are dead. Phone has a little flashlight in the back, you know, we can use that until the battery goes dead. But then if we do that, we won't have the phone. And then you figure that at the same time, there's no cell service because the grid's down. So within a couple hours, cell service goes down, the landlines go down, the water treatment plant goes down, everything stops. And then you write down what that's like. And you write down all the things that you don't like. Like, shoot, you know, boy, it would be great to have something out of one of those cans of food, but we have an electric can opener, and that doesn't work without the grid. So then you write down, you know, manual can opener, matches, candles, flashlight batteries, maybe some emergency lighting, maybe a alternative power source, maybe an inverter that you can hook up to your car. Because on average, your car has half a tank of fuel. And if you have an inverter, let's say 1,000 watts or 1,200 watts, you might be able to run your refrigerator. And you start your car engine, you know, every 20 minutes. You've got a half a tank of fuel in the car. So you just charge the battery and then shut it off. And then charge the battery and shut it off. And you do that only for the absolute necessities. But in the wintertime, you figure, well, it's freezing outside anyway, so we don't need a refrigerator, right? What I'm saying is, if you want to know what it's going to be like, what Bert's talking about, all you have to do is simulate it. And you can do that tonight. And if you can't stand it, you go to the circuit panel and you turn the breakers back on. And you go, boy, that was terrible. Bert, back to you.
Yeah, well, that's all good preparation, Vince. And just to kind of put a little bit of reality into this, we just had, so again, I mentioned we're at a solar minimum. We're climbing out of it. But it's already, the sun has already begun heating up. Last Monday, we had a huge solar eruption. And I don't know if people, you know, if there's any ham radio operators out there, you probably know about this. The first thing that happened were X-rays and ultraviolet rays bombing the Earth, and all shortwave over the Pacific Ocean went dead. We're talking about Monday a week ago. Then typically the coronal mass injection, again, which is a little different phenomena, takes a day or two, and we were waiting for that to hit Tuesday or Wednesday. It didn't seem to be that bad. But the pulse of X-rays and ultraviolet rays was hugely intense, and radio conditions, there was no shortwave over the Pacific Ocean because that was the surface of the Earth that was facing the sun when it happened. So things are already heating up, and taking care of your power system at your home is probably the most important thing you can prepare. And by the way, that makes good sense no matter what. Even if we escape any serious solar storms this cycle, it makes total sense to protect your home power system. And, of course, we have to do that for the communities, the power grid, the whole country. But and what happened in Quebec should be a lesson. Quebec's actually learning, and they beefed up their system. And, by the way, Vince, do you know why in particular Quebec was hit so badly in that storm?
Please share that with the class.
Well, it actually, believe it or not, has to do with the soil that was underneath Quebec when the coronal mass ejection came hurling toward the Earth, and that the Quebec is basically on soil that's an insulator. So think of this much like lightning looking for a path of least resistance into the ground to discharge itself. So just by chance, this eruption hit the Quebec area of Canada, and because the soil was such a good insulator, it goes, okay, what's around here that we can discharge into? And not that electrons think, but they do. And they basically went into the power grid. That was literally the path of least resistance to discharge into the ground, was to go all through the power grid, zap out all the transformers, everything, fry everything, and just discharge into the ground. And that was the primary reason why Quebec was actually hurt so bad during that storm in 1989.
Mm-hmm. So, and that explains, Bert, that explains why people who live in the country, like we do here at the farm, where the buildings, houses are few and far between, like our nearest neighbor is a mile, our closest neighbor is a mile away. And so when lightning hits, it doesn't have a lot of choices of places to go, whereas in terms of electronic equipment damage, whereas if you compare that to a city where apartments and their high-rise buildings and so forth, there are lots of places to absorb those electrical pulses or those hits, right? Lots of places. So equipment is damaged less, in my opinion, in the city environment than it is in the countryside. Your thoughts?
Well, that's just law of averages. But, by the way, Vince, there's one exception, storms, that had nothing to do with the sun. And I think the listeners will appreciate this. We had one exception where something almost exactly the same happened in 1962, July 1962. And, sadly, this was just before we signed the nuclear test ban treaty with Russia. we set off a 1.5 megaton warhead over the Pacific Ocean, Johnson Atoll, and it created a huge electromagnetic pulse, and it burnt out. I mean, get this. This was, you know, hundreds of miles away from Hawaii, but it burnt out street lamps in Hawaii, set off burglar alarms, screwed up the electrical system. And Hawaii I believe it's almost 1,000 miles, many hundreds of miles away from the atomic blast. But we did that one, human beings, sadly. And you can imagine the devastation that would happen if we, God forbid, ever had a nuclear war, what would happen with these type of things.
So for certain, we would go back to pre-industrial times. You know, if we could figure out how to do it, we could make steam engines again, and we could burn wood. It'd be terrible. We'd have what we have, and it'd be really hard to go forward. And the electronics would just pretty much be useless, in my opinion. So, Bert, what do you recommend that our students and instructors do here at USA Prepares to protect ourselves from what you believe and scientists, or what scientists believe is going to happen in the next 3 to 4 years?
Well, it's always good to have a backup system for your power, battery backup. Now, we don't know if the power will be down for an hour, for a day, or for a week. There's not too many systems that can supply power for, at least battery-wise, for a week. But your generator can, if you have, diesel fuel on board. Surge protectors can help. I mean, obviously, if the power goes out, surge protector isn't going to bring it back, but it can protect. Typically, when power goes down unexpectedly, like this would be, there's surges on your power line. So what we're saying is, instead of a steady voltage of 220 volts coming into your home, there's going to be spikes on it that could be, you know, many times that amount of voltage. And those spikes, when they get into your electronic equipment or really any electrical equipment, can cause damage, especially to you know, your refrigerator or things like that. So a surge protector helps, and you can buy one that you can put
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
First with us, I just did a little bit of arithmetic during the break. And you mentioned generators. I have here at the farm a military surplus generator. It's probably between 30 and 40 years old. And it is rated for a lifespan of about 8,000 hours. 8,000 hours. So I did a quick calculation. If we take 8,000 hours life expectancy, assuming proper oil changes and oil filter changes, continuously running, that would be 333 days. That's less than 1 year. Then I looked up the life expectancy of a typical gasoline, single-cylindered generator, the kind you might buy at a big box store. Life expectancy is around 1,000 hours. And if you ran that 24 hours a day, that would be 41 days. And of course, you'd have to change the oil every day because a lot of them don't have oil filters, and you change the oil every 25 hours. So roughly once a day if you ran it continuously. So there is probably a false sense of life expectancy of generators, and also an underestimation about how much fuel a generator burns. So this diesel generator that we have burns about a half a gallon of fuel per hour. A gasoline-powered generator that, you know, would run your house, let's say 7,000 watts or so, or 5,000 watts, is going to burn about a gallon of gasoline an hour. So that means you need 24 gallons of gasoline a day if you ran it 24 hours a day. So that's not practical. So I just wanted to put that in the minds of our students today about generator economics and generator efficiency and generator power consumption. Back to you with the surge protectors, or if you have a comment about generators. Bert, are you there? Did I lose Bert? Huh. Well, let's see. I don't see any. Oh. Okay. Okay, Bert, back to you. All right.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now, yes.
Okay. I I didn't do anything at my end.
We know. Jason fixed the problem. It was at the network. Go ahead. Back to you.
Yeah. So I think what you mentioned is important, because what it points to is the best thing you can really do, and it is sustainable. And I don't mean sustainable from, you know, an eco standpoint, but sustainable in that you can keep it working, is solar panels. And, you know, even if it's not enough for everything in your home, I know, Vince, in your system, you segregate how your power is wired so you can devote the panels to the higher priority circuits, if you wish. But solar panels, really, you can keep those going forever. I mean, if it's the summertime, you're going to have pretty good generation if you have a lot of cells on your roof. And that's really the best thing you can do. And of course, coupled with a battery backup. But if the grid goes down, the battery backup will still be able to, you know, store energy during the day and give you some energy at night. So, I think solar makes a lot of sense. I mean, it makes sense even in with no problems on the grid, but it certainly makes sense to protect your home from a power shutdown.
Yeah, and our solar system only has two moving parts. And the question may be thinking I'm kidding, because you think of a solar system with no moving parts, but ours has two that operate routinely and regularly. And one of them is a fan that cools the inverter. So it takes DC 48 volts and converts that to alternating current 220 and 240 and 120 volts. And there's a fan to cool off those electronics. So when those electronics are running, there's a sensor that says, okay, time to turn on the fan. And it does that automatically. And then there's another fan. And I put a computer fan, a heavy-duty computer fan, that blows on air onto the charge controllers. Now, the charge controllers that we have are made by Schneider Electric, and they don't have any fans. But I don't like that, because I think they get too warm. So I put a fan on them. It just blows air on them. Kind of think of it as just a fan sitting at a location where it just blows more air rather than whatever air is moving in the location where the charge controllers are. And I do that because I think that the extra power consumption of maybe 10 watts is a great investment in terms of reducing the electronic failure that would occur from additional heat being inside the charge controllers. So I'm removing that heat. So Bert is suggesting you consider solar power. I think he's absolutely right. That's why we have it. And right now, class, if you have a solar system and you have a grid-tied system and the grid goes down, you've got nothing. Nothing. It will not generate electricity because it requires the grid to provide the clock for the 60-cycle current. And if the grid goes down, you don't have the clock and the system won't work. Bert, back to you very quickly.
Yeah, so good advice, Ben. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, and Bert, thanks for joining the regular faculty meeting here on a regular basis. And Bert will be with us for 1 hour, second hour, on Fridays. Bert, thank you so much for dedicating your time to our broadcast classroom. Class, above all, honesty and integrity. What happens next is up to you.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.